Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you, the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Oh, friend, if He isn't yours, He wants to be. If He isn't yours, He can be. In fact, if He isn't yours, He came to be. The Word of God teaches us in the book of Luke 19 and 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And if that's you, that can be changed this morning. That can be corrected today. Friend, you, listen, you can become a new creature in Christ if you just simply go to Christ, repent of your sin, and by faith receive Him as your Savior. Well, as usual, I am excited about the message. I'm thankful to be here. Oh, what a privilege. What a privilege it is to be able to meet you time after time and share from the Word of God. And I trust, oh, how I trust our time together is a blessing. I trust that it brings glory to God, and I trust that it meets a need of your heart. You pray for this old country, preacher, would you? I need your prayers more than you could ever imagine. And listen, we're in this thing together. Yeah, we are. Appreciate all of you. My, listen, I couldn't do this radio program just by myself. I couldn't do that, but I thank God for everybody that has a part in it. Whatever part you play, whatever role that you feel, I appreciate you. I appreciate you from the depths of my heart. And I appreciate my lovely wife, Debbie. She's got a song tuned up, queued up, ready to go. The title of it is Standing in the Light. When she gets done with the song, I'll meet you in the book of the Revelation, chapter 2. And I'll be looking at a church that, well, maybe we should hear more about than what we do. Verse 18 of chapter 2, the church of Thyatira. I'll be back in just a few moments of time.
No longer standing in the shadows of night, found rest for my weary soul. Since Jesus saved me, a new life He gave me, now I'm standing in the light of His love. Do you remember when you were born? Just like the rest, I doubt it. You must be born again. You must be born from above. So if you gave your heart to Jesus, you're no longer standing in the shadows of night. No longer standing in the shadows of night. Found rest for my weary soul. Since Jesus saved me, a new life He gave me. Now I'm standing.
Debbie, listen, let me ask you something. I think standing is important, don't you? Look, I believe that not only standing is important, but where we stand. Not just how we stand, but where we stand is important. And John, it was the writer of those three little epistles that bear his name, as well as the gospel that bears his name of the Revelation. Look, John said this. He said, if we walk in the light, I believe it's important to stand in the right place and stand for the right thing. Thank you, Debbie, for that wonderful song. Look, here in the book of the Revelation. And I don't know. I know I don't have time to read all this, but I'm going to read a few verses, beginning with verse 18 of chapter 2. And it's about the church of Thyatira. And I'm going to give you my text even before I begin to read my text and share with you, listen, what I believe God has laid on my heart. I want to talk to you about Thyatira, a church that tolerated what it shouldn't. A church that tolerated what it shouldn't. Listen to what the Word of God says, under the angel, the church in Thyatira. Now listen, God was writing to that pastor of that church. We could take time, I could take time, we could take time together explaining what that word angel means. It has to do with a messenger. And all, listen, friend. Listen, it's important. The leadership is important in any church, in any entity actually, but especially in the church of Jesus Christ. God's laid down His formula. God's laid down His pattern. God's laid down, friend, His expectation for those who leave the church. And a great man of God who has now gone to meet His rewards, Brother Lee Robertson, used to say, everything rises and falls on leadership. So look at the burden, look at the challenge, look at the place where Jesus started. He said to the angel, the church in Thyatira, write these things, saith the Son of God. Man, I want you to look at the authority of this. I want you to look, friend, at who's telling John to write this letter. And John said, listen, it's somebody that knows. It's somebody that understands. Well, listen to what he began to describe the Son of God as. Matter of fact, John had saw Him in chapter 1. John had heard on the Lord's day, when he was in the Spirit on the Isle of Patmos, he heard the voice of one as many waters. He began to look and he saw one walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, which represent or typify the seven churches of Asia Minor that Jesus has begun to write. This is the fourth letter that He wrote. Each letter was specific to a church, specific to an age and a time. They were practical in that these churches existed when John wrote these letters. They were prophetic in that these letters, these seven churches and these seven letters, they identify the church age from Ephesus to Laodicea, from the time of Pentecost to the time of rapture and beyond. And all the characteristics of these churches, both good and bad, their works that they did, the patience that they portrayed, the failures that they had, they depict the church across time, across the 2,000 plus years that she has been in existence on planet. Planted her. And I want you to know their characteristics are specific to times and specific to churches. But all, don't you know, how they all go together. They all make up the same church. And here in this fourth letter, here in this fourth church that Jesus is writing to, John, listen, depicts Jesus in a way that he didn't depict him as he was looking and writing to any other church. He said, listen, he says, saith the Son of God, which hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. Oh, immediately, friend, when I begin to see the word brass in the Word of God, I think of judgment and awe. This one, listen, that holds the seven stars in his hand. This one, friend, that's girded with a robe down to his feet and has a golden girdle around him, which has eyes like flame of fire and feet as burnished brass, who has hair like war. Listen, he's coming to judge. Listen, the Bible says, said that judgment must begin at the house of God. And oh, friend, this church of Thyatira is like a lot of churches today. They're tolerating things that they should not tolerate. He said, I know thy works. Now watch this. He said, I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience. And watch what a strange thing Jesus says again. And thy works and the first and the last to be more than the first. And you say, why does Jesus say that, preacher? Well, he gives commendation here before he gives the condemnation to this church. And this church that was tolerant about things it shouldn't be. Listen, he was saying, hey, I want to emphasize what you emphasize. He said, I know thy works. And then he says, I know thy works in the last to be greater than the first. Hey, friend, there was a problem in this church. And Jesus here, I was emphasizing it in a mighty way. And you say, what was it, preacher? Well, I'll tell you what it was. This church at Thyatira, they were emphasizing works over worship. They were emphasizing tolerance over truth. They were emphasizing deeds over doctrine. And I'm going to preach on those things today. They were permissive and not pure. Well, they had lost to a great degree their pilgrim identity. They had become so segregated with the world. They had lost their separate. They had become so integrated with the world, they had lost their separation from the world. My. A church that Jesus had purchased with His own blood. A church that Jesus had, given the greatest truths that man has ever known. Entrusted them with His truth, with the apostles' doctrine. And now they were emphasizing something that Jesus told them that wasn't good for them. Now listen. Hey, listen to this old preacher. I may not know much, but I've lived long enough to learn a few things. Works are necessary. Do you hear me? James said this, you show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. I know that God has created us unto good works. That's one of the ways, friend, that we can be identified as a believer of and a follower of Jesus Christ. But oh, may I say, sir, may I say, ma'am, listen, when we get to the place that we put the wrong emphasis on the wrong thing, then we end up wrong. And somebody ought to say amen right there. Oh, look, I've got to go on and come back and emphasize some of these things. He said in verse 20, notwithstanding, have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophet to teach, and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed to idol. Boy, if anybody is there listening, and you're a Bible reader, when somebody mentions the word Jezebel, that's kind of like somebody calling a man a Judas. We understand those two terms, do we not? I'll say more about Jezebel in just a little bit. Have a look at what Jezebel did. And God remembered it, do you hear me? God remembered it. It was akin to that thing that Balaam did in his doctrine. I caused God's people to intermix with the world. I caused them to lose. Their pilgrim identity. Cause them, friend, to just simply forget about separation and just simply take in under deception anything that the world had to offer. But oh, friend, what a sad thing it was down in Thyatira when something had started in a small way back in the church of Ephesus. When it began, according to verse 6, as deeds. Look at that verse. He said, look, He said, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans. That's what Jesus wrote in His letter to the church of Ephesus. But look, friend, unless we stop, and that kernel false teaching, that planting of wrong doctrine in its beginning, in its inception, it'll continue to grow. I like that woman that put leaven in 3 measures of meal in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 33. I don't know what's going on in my throat, but I need to go on with this message. Look over there in verse 15 of chapter 2, when he was talking to the church of Pergamos. That church, bless God, in period of time, that married the world, brought within it the pagan ideas of heathendom. When a man by the name of Constantine, who was emperor over Rome, bless God, decided we can't defeat the Christian, so let's infiltrate the Christian. Boy, we'll just bring in the things and the traditions of heathendom, of man-made religion, and we'll mix them with Christianity. So he said in verse 15, so thou hast them also that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I also hate. What began as a deed in the church of Ephesus in 300 years, it became a doctrine. And here in the church of Thyatira, bless God, the ideas of Nicolaitanism, the ideas, bless God, of the church of Pergamos that married itself to the world and the things of the world had now become, listen, a mainstay in the church. It was promoted by this woman by the name of Jezebel, or referred to as a Jezebel-like individual. Now, the Bible doesn't clarify for us at all who this woman was. But I'll tell you this. I'll guarantee she was attractive. I'll guarantee she was pleasant. I'll guarantee, friend, she was charismatic in the right usage of that term. And oh, you know what seemed to be innocent. You know what started, bless God, in a seemingly benign way. It was planted. It took root. And before long, listen, have that church begin to tolerate anything and everything that came down the pike. Have they put emphasis on the wrong thing? Have they stopped emphasizing the doctrine? And they started working on the deeds. And may I tell you something that God gave me the other day? I want to tell you, friend, and I want you to get it. Good works cannot make up for bad doctrine. And now listen to what I'm going to say. Jesus did not condemn this church for their good works. And a matter of fact, when we get down to the end of it, He said, look, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, unto him will I give a power over the nations. He said, look, there are some of you that are holding out. There are some of you that are holding on. And there are times, bless God, in the church that all we can do is endure. But I'll tell you what we ought to do. We ought to put the emphasis where God puts the emphasis. We ought to stand on truth, bless God, until the world comes to its final place before God. Until this age passes is what I should have said. And there's so much being tolerated under the banner of Christianity today, that, bless God, it makes God sick. If you don't believe me, read on in the Revelation in chapter 3, to where you'll find that the church of the people, it made God sick in his stomach. Well, friend, I'll tell you, the church of Jesus Christ is to be kind. We're to be compassionate, but we're to speak the truth in love. life. There's a time, bless God, that we ought to be meek and mild. But there's a time that we ought to march and be militant. There's a time, bless God, that we ought to kick the heretic and his heresy out the door. We ought to lock our side doors from the creeps. I'm telling you, there's too much tolerance in the Church of Jesus Christ today. That just says, well, let's just do it any old way. We're doing good works, and that's what's important. We'll let people have church the way they want to have church. We'll just listen. We'll just attend to the flesh. Hey, I want to tell you something. You can go to church and have something to stir your emotions. But if it doesn't charge your spirit on the inner man, that spirit that is quickened in you, may alive when you get saved. Bless God, you're getting the wrong stuff. Do you hear me? I'm not just saying this, that's what Jesus said. People say, well, we're worshiping the Lord, preacher. Well, that's good. I'm glad that you are. I'm glad that you're worshiping God. But are you worshiping God or your works? Hey, friend, I want you to know that worship must be in spirit and in truth. Hey, people forget that. People listen in this day of tolerance and forced acceptance. They forget, bless God, that worship must be God's way and not man's way. Hey, when we go to church, it's all about God and not on how I feel, not on how I want things to be, not on how I think, but what thus saith the Lord. Bless God, we've lowered purity and we've become permissive to the place that listen. Just any old thing will go. There is a generation that has risen up that's transforming the church into something it ought not to be transformed into. It's not a place where we go to be entertained. It's not a place, bless God, where we go to drink our lattes. It is the house of God. It is the house of prayer. It is the place of worship. Oh, I know there's a social side to the Church of Jesus Christ. I know there are many facets to the church, but I believe we put the wrong emphasis on the wrong things in this generation. Whoa, it's not about us. It's not about how we feel, but it's about glorifying God. It's about giving Him the worship that is due His name, because He is worth it. Listen, friend, if I've got to decide between doctrine and deeds, you want me to tell you what this old country preacher is going to choose every time? Bless God, I'll stand on the side of doctrine. If I've got to stand on tolerance or truth, I'll take truth every time. Now, even with truth, we've got to tolerate some things, and I understand that. I understand that, but the tolerance that we're being taught today, it's forced acceptance. It's an embracing of things that the Word of God tells us to separate ourselves from. I'm telling you, friend, I'm not of this world. Bless God, I'm in it, but I am not of Him. I'm a pilgrim. I'm a stranger. I'm just passing through. If I've got to choose between worship and works, bless God, I'll choose worship every time. Old Saul got in trouble over that, did he not? Him and the children of Israel that were following him. And when God said, you go down there to Amalek and you kill all of him. When old Samuel showed up, Saul said, hey Samuel, I'm glad to see you. I've carried out the word of the Lord. Old Samuel said, if that's true, Saul, why in the world do I hear the sheep bleeding and the oxen lowing? Hey, listen, friend. God told him through that prophet, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. I'll tell you, friend, I'll take worship, bless God, over works anytime. And I'll take purity over permissiveness. Ah, listen, friend, what a day we're living in. What a day we're living in. It amazes me what kind of things churches allow, what kind of programs they promote, what kind of ideas they have about what worship is. Oh, friend, listen. We need to go back to the old ways. We need to ask for the old past. And when we find them, to walk therein. If I know anything about the Church of Jesus Christ, it was purchased by His blood. It's empowered by His Spirit. I'm telling you, it is to be fed by His Word. I don't know about you, but I think that the Church of Thyatira have tolerated some things it shouldn't. Hey, how about you? How about where you go? Oh, good works are good things. Good works are necessary things, but they are not to supplant or replace the truth of God's Word, of worship, and putting the main thing as the main thing. Oh, friend, listen. I'm glad that you tuned in today. I'm not quite done, but my time is. You prayed for this old preacher, won't you? And bless God, I'm praying for you. Until the next time, my prayer is that God blesses you abundantly.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.